My name is Courtney. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is April 21st, 2013. I have a sponsor. Her name's Joyce, and I have a home group, which is Midtown. We meet every Sunday night at Walter Johnson High School in Bethesda at 7:30. And thank you, Sam, for asking me. Where did he go? Oh, there he is. thank you for asking me. I really appreciate it, and it really is an honor to be able to share my experience with you guys. And thank you, everyone, for coming, and for my friends for coming, too. And Rouge, to see her. She just moved here to the area, so you should get to know her. I always get really nervous, so I was happy we started with the Serenity Prayer. We said a prayer in the car before we came in, and so I just need to get out of the way. And this is, like, always the problem. I get in the way and get in my head about what I'm going to say, and, you know, I've just always been taught to share to the newcomer and just be honest and share what actually happened. So I'm going to try to do that. I grew up in Rhode Island. I grew up in an alcoholic house. I don't, you know, for a long time used that as an excuse as to why I acted the way that I did. Even like well before I started drinking, there was just always something, I just felt like there was something wrong with me. I just was very emotional. It was very like my way or the highway. I mean, my mom would tell me like since I was probably like 2, and then it wasn't just like terrible twos. It just like stayed that way, you know? And, if I didn't get my way, all hell would break loose, you know, and my parents got divorced when I was 5-ish, and so we ended up moving to Rhode Island from North Carolina, and I just remember feeling just fearful, I guess, is the best way I could describe it. And when I got to AA and people were talking about self-centered fear, I was just kind of like cringing because I just never could admit that that's how I felt, because I felt like I needed to overcompensate, puff myself up, be this like extremely extroverted person, because I just did not want to be seen as weak or fearful or anything like associated with those words. But that's really how I felt. You know, I felt fearful of the people in my grade, you know, at school. I felt fearful playing sports. You know, we were talking about like playing sports in the car ride up, and I loved playing them, but what I didn't love was interacting with the other kids that were there. You know, I just wanted to be by myself. I was like a lone wolf, but I desperately wanted to fit in at the same time. So, I just kind of like pushed through. I did sports anyway. You know, I kind of figured, and I remember consciously thinking this, that I was like, yeah, we have to, like, make this work, and I don't want to be someone who's not cool, so I just kind of, like, exerted myself into, like, I'm going to just try to fit in as best I can. And I did that, but it just still didn't fix the way I felt on the inside. I still felt, like, apart from, it was like my thing was, you know, if I wasn't the leader of the pack, I just didn't want to participate. If I wasn't the best on the team, don't want to do it. I would say, you know, I was average at school. I just didn't really care about homework. I just was like, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing? All I really cared about was like how I felt and what I was chasing to like make myself feel better. So for a long time, you know, that was other things before I found alcohol. It was like a boy, you know, flavor of the week. My mom used to say, oh God, who's the flavor of the week? You know, I would just obsess, like really. It wasn't just like a little, it was like there was something wrong. I mean, it was like all consuming, you know, and with like the boys or, you know, with like I need to just wear like these clothes and then I'll feel better. And, you know, just like if I have this amount of parties at my house and I'll feel better, and I just kind of live my life just in that kind of self-will. And, you know, I really didn't want to drink. I saw what it did to my mom and her friends. You know, my mom definitely was a blackout drinker. You know, so it was kind of like we never knew what we were going to get. So I'd like come home and sometimes she would be fine. Other times, you know, we would get in these crazy fights, you know, and so I, you know, and my dad, I should mention, is 32 years sober. So I'm not good at math off the top of my head like that, but he had some time sober. I never saw him drink. You know, I kind of like, I went to meetings with him when I would go visit him in North Carolina, sit in the back with a coloring book, you know, and, anyway, I was just like, well, I'm never going to drink. You know, I know that's not like an option. And, you know, just slowly, like, I guess kids at school started doing it. So I started participating, you know, and, I can't remember the exact first time I took a drink. I really can't. I know that I had, you know, we had like Mike's Hard Lemonade and stuff like that. Just like in the summer, you know, very innocent. I don't remember any kind of like thing happening. I just remember sneaking out with these guys, in Martha's Vineyard. I mean, we were like 12 or something. And, you know, and that was that. And then, you know, I think like the next time, so I ended up moving to Houston. This was like a big turning point. So I started going to high school. I was a freshman in high school, and the fights with my mom were getting worse. And, you know, I would just flip out. And again, this is like before I had alcohol as a solution. So I know that I'm the problem, because I just can't point to anything else, you know. But I would just lose my temper all the time, you know, and then go to school and be this other person, you know. And she sent me to live with my dad in Houston. He lived there at that time. So I got on a plane like 3 days later and like left my life there and just tried to start a new one down there, you know. And just like all that fear that I had, you know, as a little girl came back, and I was just like petrified to go to school, you know, again, tried other things as a solution, and then I eventually just really, like, discovered alcohol. I remember my friend and I stole my stepmom's cooking sherry and just put it to the face and got wasted off of it. It was, you know, gross. I don't even want to smell that today. Like, no. Like, it's just disgusting. You know, and we just really, it was fun. Like, there was no consequences, but I really do feel like I felt like I can live if I have this now. Like, it, like, registered in my head. I was like, I understand my mother. Do not understand why my dad is sober. Definitely didn't get that. You know, I just felt like I could be free, and I felt like this is why people drink, you know. Like, I really experienced just freedom like I had never felt before. And so, yeah, it was kind of like my story was, I was off to the races after that, really. I mean, you know, the next time was like drinking Everclear, you know, with my date for a like cotillion type thing. And like, you know, I was like so out of my element. I mean, my mom was, I was not raised like that at all. Like, my mom was like a fisherman in the summer. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even know what I was doing in Houston with like all these people. I just felt so out of place. And so, you know, he passed the bottle. He's like, oh, it's Everclear. I'm like, I don't know what that is. I'm just going to drink it, you know. And I got blacked out and sat in the middle of the dance floor and cried, from what I was told. So, yeah, really glamorous. You know, I was really cool. But honestly, that's how my drinking went. You know, it was and I remember the kids at school on Monday being like, you were crazy, you know, on Saturday. And I was just like, I love this. Like, I loved the attention. I loved just, like, being, again, like, free, sit and cry on the dance floor. Like, I clearly did not care what people thought, you know, at all. And so, and I had been so consumed with that my entire life. Like, where do I fit? Like, am I at the top? Am I at the bottom? How am I going to get to the top? Like, you know, and just consumed with like what people thought of me. You know, I'd like go if I had friends over or something, just be like convinced that they were talking about me in the other room. Just like so self-centered, and I would try to eavesdrop on conversation. You know, that doesn't end well because honestly, some of the times they were talking about me, but especially like as time went on, because I was acting really just not normal. Anyway, I you know, just did that in high school. I mean, I actually like had a good situation in high school. I went to an IB school. Like I was not as dumb as I was like telling myself I was. And you know, I just really was like, no, I don't want to do school. I want to be a partier, you know? And that's like what we did again. I mean, we just kind of, I really didn't think any laws applied to me. Like I was like 21's a drinking age for other people, but it's not for me, you know? And, you know, my life was really hard and all this sob story, blah, blah, blah. So let me do what I want to do pretty much and leave me alone. And that worked for a little bit. You know, I, found the girls that drank the way I did, and you know, we would split a handle of Bacardi, and just from the beginning, I mean, I was probably 15 at that time, and the mental math of like, is this gonna actually last the whole night? Because if it doesn't, I'm gonna freak out. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, I didn't realize that like normal drinkers don't have that, where they have a sip and then they obsess about how are we going to get more. Like, you know, I would have one sip and not be able to stop. I could never predict ever. I mean, looking back, I could not say I'm just going to have two and go home. Especially towards the end, cause it did progress for me, but it was just really quick progression. So, you know, and I remember one time having maybe one or two at dinner with my stepmom and just being like angry, like that she would do that to me. You know, I always felt like a victim, by the way. You know, how dare she, you know, limit me and all this stuff. You know, I was 16, you know, just again, no regard, like, oh, she could get in trouble for like letting me drink underage. You know, I just, didn't think of that. Didn't think of others, ever. So, you know, she gave me I think at one point she thought I was like a narcissist, or a sociopath, one of those. And, you know, just like the blatant disregard for other people, you know, thinking you're above laws, all that stuff. And I was like, oh my, something really is wrong. Like I am a bad person, you know, like I really felt like I am just a piece of trash, you know, but then I would present this other person who was like very arrogant, you know, cause I also felt that way. So I was just like a mess, you know, on the inside and then on the outside, you know, I just didn't get it. Like other people were going off to colleges and I was like, well, how do they know what they want to do? Like I want to do PR, whatever that is. I don't even know. Because people are telling me I'd be good at that, but like I was always just kind of like I didn't know who I was, you know, and like I didn't know what I liked, I didn't have goals, you know, and I did have that as like a young kid, you know, I had like ambition and stuff like that, I remember, but just like kind of went out the at the door when I started drinking. Alcohol really became the center of my life, and you know, I went down, I chose to go to University of Alabama for school, and I remember saying before I got there, like, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, this is going to be a fresh start, you know, I'm not going to drink, I'm going to, like, take school seriously, and the first night I got there, I got drunk, you know, and then it was off to the races part two, like, you know, those years, I actually just got back from there, because I had a 9-step amends that was lingering and I could feel it. So I got the willingness to go do that. So I went, not this past weekend, obviously I'm here, but the weekend before. And I'll get to that stuff later, but, yeah, so I, you know, joined a sorority, saying, okay, this is going to fix me. Now, you know, join a sorority, then I want to be in a fraternity. You know, I'm like, they don't accept women. Like, you know, just never, ever, ever was enough. Never was enough. You know, there was not enough alcohol to fix me. You know, I just, there just wasn't. I mean, there was like a sweet spot, you know, where I would get drunk and I wanted to stay at that point. Like, if I could just stay here where it's like I'm conscious, I'm not doing anything stupid, and I can smoke cigarettes and just like call people, I would have just stayed there. You know what I mean? But then I always went over the edge because I could not stop at that point ever. I always had to keep going. And, you know, and so that's what I did. And I ruined a ton of relationships. You know, I the consequences like started to get worse, you know, where in high school it was like a little trouble with the police here and there. Oh, that's funny. That's cute. And then it started to be like, oh yeah, I'm waking up at people's houses. I genuinely don't know where I am. So I have to look at the mail to see what the address is to tell my friend who's sobbing on the other line, I'm so worried about you. Tell me where you are so I can come pick you up because I'm scared that you're going to die. You know, like she thought I had been kidnapped. Like I just like, and you know, people would talk to me about this kind of stuff a lot. Like I had a lot of friends. I never had a hard time making friends. I just could not keep them, you know, ever, you know, because they would always bring up something and I would just get really defensive. And if it had to do with my drinking, I'd just be like, no, you know, I just could not hear people when they were talking about that. Because to me, alcohol was the only thing that was getting me through life, you know. And when I was sober, it felt unbearable, you know. I just didn't know. I was like, no, I can't give this up, you know. And then pretty much I just kept getting beaten and beaten and beaten. You know, I got DUI. Didn't even make a dent, you know. I remember being in the holding cell, making friends with one of the other girls that was in there, and she's like, oh, it's not a big deal. Like, it's just a DUI. And I was like, yeah, you're right, you know. And just stuff like that would happen where it just wouldn't. And I got out. They kept me in there for 18 hours, and I got out and drank right when I got out and drove that night. I say that every time I speak because it really does illustrate, like, my powerlessness, you know. I just didn't, it couldn't stop me, you know. I went there to Alabama for 2 years and then drove back up to Rhode Island just being like, can't do this. The school's the problem. It's not me. It's the people here. And, you know, at that point I started using other, you know, drugs to keep me from blacking out. So I was like trying to manage my alcoholism with drugs. You know, that's not everyone's story, but it was a big, big part of mine. And, you know, when I went up to Rhode Island, that same kind of thing was happening. You know, I just really thought, you know, it's everyone else's fault. It's still my mom's fault. It's this guy's fault. It's her fault. You know, I would just always paint people. I had like the villain. And I do this still in sobriety. My sponsor told me like 2 nights ago, you know, she's like, yeah, that person plays the villain in your like drama, you know? And I don't even realize that that's what I do, you know, but I will like just, and they can't win. They can't get out of that because I'm like, nope, you've already convinced me who you are. You know, you are not allowed to fail. And, you know, so again, can't keep relationships very well. But yeah, so I painted all these people to be the villains. And, you know, I lived with my mom again in Rhode Island, and the same kind of thing happened again with these, like, they threw a glass at her, you know, when we were both drunk, and she kicked me out, obviously, and then I just kind of, like, held this guy hostage for a year, I mean, he was my boyfriend, but I didn't act like he was, so there was that, you know, did not, you know, didn't show up. I was just like, no, you're just here to serve me. You know, that was like how I acted in all my relationships at that point. I never thought of like, it was mind blowing when I got here and people were like, you should ask how someone else is doing. And I was like, what? You know, like it just never, I mean, I would ask like in a socially acceptable, you know, I knew you're supposed to say, how are you? But I would not listen, you know, so. That was mind blowing when people were like, you know, and then listen and, you know, ask a follow up question. I was like, and I remember the first time I did that, I had probably, you know, a couple weeks sober to one of my best friends, Lily, and she said, I don't think you've asked me how I am in years. And I was just like, oh, you're not supposed to like prove them right, you know, but, you know, I don't know, that was just standard. But so I held this guy hostage, and it just got worse from there. You know, I was driving on a suspended license, I didn't have a license. I didn't show up to court for my DUI, so there was a warrant out for my arrest. And I really, you know, was so delusional. I was like, I own this town. You know, like, that's how I'd walk around. And I was like, okay, you have a warrant out for your arrest, negative dollars in your bank account, no friends, no car, no job, like, homeless, you know, but I acted like I got it all together, you know, just very delusional. I would like say, oh, I'll write you a check for that. And it's like, that would bounce because you have no money, you know? But I, the people that I was hanging out with there, you know, were starting to get tired of it really quickly. I would end up screaming and just, then my behavior was getting like, less predictable. So, you know, some nights I would be fine. Other nights I would be yelling at people, like I said, throwing glasses, getting violent towards that boyfriend, you know, or crying. I cried all the time. And, you know, I had started going to meetings, in Houston, in 2009. My dad was like, really, like, just check it out. And for whatever reason, I did that time. And I remember just feeling like everyone really did look happy and, like, comfortable. But I just was like, I have plans after this. You know, I'm 19. I'm just not ready to do anything different, you know. And but it kind of stuck with me. I mean, I can see it in my head today. Like, I remember it really clearly. I don't remember what they said, but I just remember, like, the energy in the room and that everyone was, like, really nice. And then I started going in Tuscaloosa where I lived. And, you know, my dad was really pushing me at that point. And I can't imagine, like, how scary that was, you know, for him to – I mean, he knows the game. He, you know, for him to know what was going on. I mean, they would get notices in the mail, like – about the DUI and then the overdraft charges and all that kind of stuff. And it was just like MIA, like, and I really saw myself as a person who was like responsible, reliable, like always had my phone, you know, and that just like couldn't be further from the truth, you know. There were like a lot of times where people couldn't get a hold of me at all. I would just go off the grid. And a lot of mornings I woke up just terrified to even look at my phone, you know, because of, I just didn't want to know what I did, the night before. And, just waking up with that heart racing, just like terror feeling, you know, was pretty much every day. And, so anyway, I started going to meetings and then, you know, it didn't stick because I get my own judgments, you know, then I went in Rhode Island and they, you know, had said, you know, we don't want you to, you know, do marijuana maintenance or anything like that. And I just wasn't ready to be entirely sober for me. I just wasn't. I really, like, needed to try some ideas out. And I'm really glad that I did. I'm really grateful for my experience and just, like, really burning myself out, like, because... You know, when I got here, well, to D.C., so basically what happened is I moved to D.C. For a job, and I tried to get it together again. I was like, I'm going to get it together. And I said, I'm not going to drink. And so I didn't drink for 2 years. And it was, I just did a ton of other stuff and said, okay, well, I'm not drinking, so I'm not an alcoholic, you know. And I mean, I was drinking NyQuil, so that does have alcohol in it. I was like, it's fine, you know, I can get it at CVS. Like, just any kind of, like, justification. Any prescription I would take, like, in the first week of getting it, you know, so it's like, okay, so you're not taking it as prescribed, that's good, you know, and just, I was losing my mind, you know, obviously, and I was going out to bars in D.C., hanging out with the same kind of people and being like, this is, like, the best I could come up with. I was, like, trying to, like, do sobriety my own way, and I would go to meetings here and there. You know, I saw psychics who tried to heal me, you know, asking me $1,000. Apparently, my friend just told me that this past weekend. He was like, remember when you tried to pay like $1,000? I don't think I actually paid that, but I remember thinking about it, you know, because I really was like, there's got to be something else wrong. Like, I could not beat this, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. You know, and eventually I just got to a point where I was praying to not wake up in the morning. I did not want to be here, 0%, you know, and I had gotten everything I thought was going to make me happy. Like, I got into a good school in D.C. I got the apartment I want, have the clothes, friends, same story. It's like, doesn't work, you know, and I was miserable, and I would see people, like, go to the grocery store and stuff, because I live near a Trader Joe's in D.C., and I would just be like, I don't get how they just, like, do that, and they look, like, happy, you know. I could not stop crying, and I could not imagine, like, my life, you know, with or without alcohol, really. And I really planned, I was like, I'm going to go back to it. It was like a ticking time bomb. Like, I knew I was going to, you know. And I actually met a guy on Hinge. It was like an online dating thing. And he suggested I go to AA. I was really offended, really mad about that. Because I was like, I just told you I'm sober. You know, my eyes were bugging out of my head. And not sober, you know, but I thought I was, technically. But, and he was in AA too, and he was just like, oh yeah, you know, didn't want to go out with me again. Shocker. But you know, when I was ready, it was like 5 o'clock in the morning one day, and I just texted him a moment. I had like tiny window, you know, where I was like, I can't do this. Like, I cannot do this, you know? Wow. And I texted him and was like, I can't, like, I need a woman's number, you know. I knew it wasn't going to work with him for sure, you know, that would be weird. But he gave me this woman, Eleanor's number from D.C., and it just changed my life, you know. I had no idea, like, what I was in store for. I mean, zero. You know, all I really wanted at that time was to be dating this guy, Josh. Don't know him, by the way, at all. You know, graduate school and make a ton of money, and I did graduate. I do have a boyfriend, but that's not, like, what makes me happy. Like, it can't fill this hole. Like, I've tried, you know, and I've tried in sobriety, like, you know, things and stuff to, like, make me feel better, and it just doesn't, maybe for a minute, you know, like, I got my new car, and I'm like, oh, this is great, and then it's like, you know, maybe 10 minutes later, I was like, yeah, I'm still an alcoholic, you know, and so, anyway, I kind of, like, sponsor hopped for a while. I just couldn't listen still. I mean, even after all that, I was just like, I know better. But I wouldn't say that. It was just kind of like how it felt. And like, you know, the sponsor would do one thing wrong. Again, God forbid, they're human. You know, I'm like, nope, I need you to be up here and I need you to fix me. And, you know, it's just, we can't, you know. And just like, I can't fix anybody, you know. So I would, you know, get resentful, fire them, get a new one, say, okay, this is the answer, you know, fire them. Same thing. That happened about 5 times. And then I got to a point again where I was 5 or 6 months sober where I was like, this doesn't work. I want to commit suicide and or drink again, but I can't live like this, you know. And so I just surrender again. And, like, I asked this woman, Jenny, to be my sponsor, and she really, like, changed everything for me, you know. She scared me, which I think was good, you know. And I just knew she wasn't going to put up with anything. And so, you know, I started working with her, and she took me through the 12 steps. We went through the big book line by line, and, you know, she had me do where I wrote out my first step, and underlined all the ways that I was powerless and unmanageable. You know, and I struggled with, like, my obsession was that I'm not an alcoholic for probably a year and a half. Like, I just felt like I'm not an alcoholic. It was like my biggest fear that I was going to be like found out in here. Cause I really felt like this is the last house on the block. Like, if this doesn't work, I really have no other option, you know? So I was really scared that that was true and that my head was right. And thank God I know today that that is very, very, very inaccurate. And I believe with every fiber of my being that I have alcoholism. And you know, a lot of it was, I'm really grateful for her patience and like willingness to pick up my calls, you know, and just the same thing over and over. Like, I had this really big fear that I'd relapse. Like, if I had ice cream or something, like, I would be like, it had alcohol, it out, like, just, I was like obsessed and just like trapped in fear, you know, of losing my sobriety. And she was really patient, and was just like, you know, we would just keep going back to like, you know, once I start, I cannot stop. And once I stop, I can't quit entirely. That was like easy for me to grasp, but like the alcoholic word, I was like, I don't know but I relate to that and I relate to everything in here, but I don't know if I'm an alcoholic, you know? And I'm just really grateful that she wasn't like, get out, you know, or like go to a different program. You know, she was just like, okay, like, let's talk about, you know, keep coming back. And like, she's just really patient, you know? And, you know, with, step two, I didn't really have a problem with God, but I did. Like, I didn't know that I had a problem with God. So, like, you know, I don't know. I thought I was more, like, open than I actually was, kind of looking back. But it really didn't matter. I mean, I just kind of did the best I could. And I, you know, I definitely saw other people who would share openly, like I'm doing tonight, about wild stuff they had done. And they definitely did not seem sane, you know, but they seemed sane now. And I was really blown away, especially at my home group when they would just like so comfortably like go across the stage and go to the podium. I was like, how do they do that? You know, it's just like, and they were like laughing about things that was making me cringe, like, oh my God, don't tell anybody that, you know? And you know, so I kind of like believed that I could be restored to sanity, maybe, you know. And then for me, step three was just kind of going on to step four. I really couldn't like overanalyze it. I'm very heady if you didn't pick that up. So I really needed to keep it like simple, or my sponsor kept it simple. I did not come up with this stuff, by the way. You know, she was just like, we're going to keep it really simple. You know, and when I call her and be like, I think, you know, I'm just a sociopath and all this, she's like, are you a doctor? And I'm like, no. And she's like, okay, let me know when you go to medical school and then we can talk about, you know, your other things that you think are wrong with you. But I was just like obsessed with like, there's gotta be a way, like I'm different from them somehow, you know? And I'm just so glad that that has not been the case, at least for me. Like I wanted to be like one of you guys, you know what I mean? And but my alcoholism was like trying to keep me like separated. But like my heart wanted to be here, if that makes sense. And anyway, so yeah, we did step four, and you know, I did the best I could at the time. I think I went through the steps again in June. I ended up working with somebody else, Joyce, and we went through again, and I really got a deeper look at myself that time. But the first time around was, I mean, that was, I just did the best I could. I couldn't see a lot of the things that I could see, and I'm sure it'll be different, you know, the next time I do them. Just a different perspective, different willingness to look at things. But you know, in 6 and 7, you know, so I shared my fourth step with my sponsor at the time, and you know, I just felt like I did feel a lot lighter, you know. But there were some defects on there that I just really couldn't. There's one, I'm just going to say it. It's the one that's, like, overly dependent. I just would be like, bah. And, you know, at our pigeon meeting the other day, I was sharing that. Like, just I did not want to be like that, you know, and, like, and things like jealous. Like, I was just like, no, like, I don't have that, you know, but it was, like, all over, the evidence was, like, all over my fourth step and my calls with my sponsor, but I just, again, like, my ego was just like, no, you don't, you cannot let them see you like this, like, don't be honest, you know, and so I tried that, and it didn't work, you know, and really what happened was, like, I saw people that I looked up to a lot, like, openly sharing about those defects that I was so afraid to, like, admit, and I was like, oh my, you know, that guy or that girl, like, can say that, and I don't see them like that at all, like, I just see them as, like, awesome, you know, and I kind of started to, like, get some acceptance that way, and you know, with 8 and 9, I've had some really powerful experiences, really powerful. I mean, so the most powerful one was, you know, my mom had moved to North Carolina, and my pigeon sister at the time was going down somewhere down there for a wedding, and my sponsor was like, you should go, like, with her, and you should make amends to your mom. And I was just like, what? Like, you know, I think I had 2 years at that point, you know, and I'd been doing things like to improve our relationship during that time. Like, I was not perfect by any means. We had a volatile relationship pretty much, like, as far as I can remember. So it was not like an overnight thing, but, you know, I would call her and ask her, you know, she really likes bears. Like, there would be bears on their farm, and just listen to her about that kind of stuff. And, like, you know, her tractors and, like, her roses and, you know, just, like, things that, like, she was interested in. Like, that was, like, not my idea, you know, like, I don't care, you know, really. I mean, I do now, but, like, back then, I was just, like, why am I doing this? You know, I don't see the point. I really don't. And, just, like, a lot of the actions I've been told to take here, I'm just, like, I don't see the point. Why am I going to do that, you know? And, I'm just really grateful that I've just always done them anyway. Again, not perfectly. I still mess up, like, a lot, you know, but, and I have a long way to go, but I've seen, like, so I was able to make the amends to her, and I remember it clear as day, and, you know, it was just, like, she passed away, like, not that long after that, you know, and, like, I don't know, it's just, that's, like, not, I just share that because it's not, it wasn't my idea, and, like, I'm trying to get at that, like, my ideas aren't great, you know what I mean? Like, I would never think, oh, I want to go do that, because, you know, I just thought, oh, well, she's just going to be here forever, and, like, we'll just repair this over time, and, you know, I can still flip out at her while she's here, and then make amends really quickly, you know, and, like, it was just, like, you know, it's, like, a good reminder for me still, though, with, like, just people that I love of, like, we don't know, you know, like, you know, and my sponsor has been on me about, like, you know, even if I get in an argument with my boyfriend or something like that, she'll be like, I hope you clean that up now, because God forbid something happens to one of you guys when you're, you know, driving or something like that, and, like, the last thing was, like, a fight between you, you know, and, I mean, we don't fight all the time, but I just, like, you know, we're, like, humans, you know, and I don't know why I'm always so scared to say, oh, my God, I got an argument with my boyfriend, but anyway, so, yeah, so that was powerful, and then, you know, I've had a ton of powerful ones, really, and, you know, I've had ones that are, like, they're like, I don't care, like, what you're saying doesn't, you know, I had someone recently be like, that never happened, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, and a comment sponsor freaking out, and she's like, it's not about, like, their reaction, really, it's, like, about the demonstration, that you're willing to make right the wrong that you caused, you know, so it doesn't really matter, like, what they say, or, you know, if they approve of you, because that's still me looking for approval, you know, and, you know, so yeah, I didn't particularly want to go down to Alabama, last weekend, but, I am really grateful that I did. And it was like a really good experience just being back there. And like, I really felt like I could hold my head high, and like that, I know that's because of the work that like I've done here. And like, because I have a God of my own understanding, I really felt like literally carried. I prayed so much. I was so fearful to be there, like terrified, you know, because I was just like, I'm going to get drunk. That was like where I did my worst drinking, you know, and I didn't, you know. I really felt like carried. I went down with somebody from AA who was also making amends to somebody down there, and like we just had a really good time. And I left the school just being like, wow, like AA works, because I felt the opposite of that. And I know feelings aren't facts, but I lived my life like ashamed, terrified. I know I said I was terrified going into it, but like leaving, I felt like free. And I was just like, there's no possible way that I could produce that on my own. I have tried, you know, many, many, many times. And I know that it just wasn't me. Like, it wasn't my own power. It was, a higher power that I do call God. And, you know, yeah, so 10 and 11, you know, I call my sponsor every other day, give her my inventory. I do write it at night. I'm not like super like every single night at this time I write it, but I try to write it. And then I do meditate in the morning, and I do pray a lot. Prayer has like changed my life. I really don't think I would be here without prayer. And meditation is great too. I think that's like one of those things where I have a lot of ways to grow everywhere. But like with meditation, I'm like, you know, I talked to Rouge about it, like just like kind of like, okay, but it's good. It's like another demonstration of like, I'm going to put my phone away and be with my higher power for 5 minutes. And I feel like it does give me more of a pause, like more than I really am like aware of, later that day, you know, if something comes up, I'm like less likely to freak out or, you know, be anxious or spiral down, you know, if I start my day that way. And then, you know, step 12, I love helping other alcoholics. Like it really is, the bright spot in my life. I love it. Not every day, you know, I'm still selfish. And I'm like, I don't want to pick up the phone every second, you know, but I want to, like, do my online shopping or whatever I'm doing. We shouldn't be doing that, you know, by the way. I should be, like, focusing on my job. But yeah, no, I love helping other alcoholics a lot. And you know, practicing these principles in all my affairs is definitely a work in progress, you know, but I feel like when I do that, I had a sponsee last night tell me that she was really grateful for the things that she's seen me struggle with. I really struggled hardcore probably a year ago, like to the point where I was like just having trouble leaving my house. Like I just felt like in so much fear, just trapped, And I was just like, something else is wrong with me. I knew it, you know, and what it was that I wasn't practicing these principles in all my affairs, and I didn't even know. I did not know that that's what it was. I just thought, I'm just crazy, you know, and anyway, the sponsee said, you know, I, like, about watching me go through that, and, like, she didn't, like, say it exactly like that, but she knew, you know, and because I shared it with her a lot, and I share my struggles with people, and, you know, she was like, it seems like you're on, like, the other side of, like, all that fear and stuff, and she said it really helps her and gives her courage to, like, go on another day, and I just was, like, started crying, and then was just like, all right, got to shut it down, like, get it together. Like, I'm, like, uncomfortable with, like, emotion. But, you know, it meant, like, so much to me because that time in my sobriety was, like, so difficult. And I really remember, I tell Joyce, like, this is, like, pointless, you know? Like, I really was, like, I don't get it. Like, it might work for you, but it's not going to work for me. Just that, like, same attitude, and she would tell me that, like, I've been where you're at, it gets better, I've been where you're at, it gets better, and I was just like, all right, we'll see, and, like, I don't know, it just meant the world to me that, like, you know, it's not about me, like, that girl can, like, have hope because of, like, she sees God working in my life, because another woman took the time to take me through the 12 steps and get my hand in a power greater than myself's hand. And, you know, it's just, like, not me, I guess, is, like, what I'm trying to say. You know, so it was, like, just really powerful that, like, you know, people are watching us and like, watching the miracles in our lives. And, you know, like, I know for me it's been, like, a huge deal watching people, like, get through. It's not so much, like, people who I'm, like, they get sober and everything's wonderful. I just don't, like, I haven't had that experience, but that's just me. I don't know. Like, I wish, but it just hasn't, you know, but it's helped me to, like, see people struggle and, like, go through life and, like, deal with their character defects and, you know, be honest about that and then, like, and then see them kind of go on the other side and, like, you know, not to say they don't struggle again, but it's just, like, I don't know, it's just really powerful for me because I'm, like, if that person can do it, I can do it, and so I'm just, like, really grateful to be able to be that way for somebody else, you know. It just makes me feel like God is real, and it just, it gives me hope too, you know. So, anyways, I'm done talking. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for having me.